Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
From beautiful Huntington Beach, California, on the HealthyLife.net radio network, heard in all 50 states and 135 countries, all positive talk radio. Welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver at caregiverdave.com. And we're also coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks on 26 global audio and video platforms, including iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and the list goes on and on. In fact, we are very proud to be voted number one podcast on FeedSpot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast on the top 50 on Player FM. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. Therapist, dementia care specialist, caregiver advocate, and soon to be nurse, I think, Lisa Tharakan. Where did the care go? Shining hope and love into people's lives on a daily basis. Before we get started, I do want to take this moment and thank my last week's guest, Wes Donahue. He developed a unique speech approach to caregiving that's provided to be truly helpful. Join us in an in-depth discussion with the CEO of Helpful about why they're building a different type of caregiver support application. And just a reminder, you can listen to that show and any of our shows on caregiverdave.com or any of the 26 global audio and video platforms that I mentioned earlier. All right, enough of that. Lisa, so great to have you on the Caregiver Dave show.
Thanks for having me.
I always like to ask my guests just who is Lisa Tharakan, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
You are.
And why was she placed on this earth? How's that for a first question?
I've been a therapist for 10 years and I actually just quit, and then decided to change my route into nursing. So I'm studying for my boards currently. So hopefully I'll be passing soon and to become an RN.
Good, good. So you're familiar with caregiving, right? Some would call you a caregiving expert or a caregiving advocate. How
Yes.
do you describe yourself? Where did all your caregiving knowledge come from?
So I think originally, like, it started off, like, just being a kid, like, like showing up, in my cultures, like, you know, like, to take care of people. Like, I naturally was in that role of, like, wanting to make sure everyone was happy and making sure everyone was okay and taken care of. Like, I've always wanted to, like, ease stress out on my mom or, like, make sure everyone's okay, like, when they came to visit my house. So I think that's where it stemmed from.
Well, those are good attributes of a caregiver, wanting to make sure everyone is happy.
Yeah.
But sometimes caregivers can do too much. They can give and give and give till there's nothing left to give. They can feel guilty because they're not giving enough care or the best care that, in their opinion. And then, you know, that causes burnout. Have you ever had or come close to burnout, and what caused it, and what did you do about it?
Yeah. So I personally have not. Well, I would say, like, in a caregiver point of view, I have not, but as a healthcare worker, I have. So working in New York during COVID was probably the biggest caregiver burnout that we've probably seen globally, right? So we've seen people, healthcare workers, step out of that role wanting to be a healthcare provider, you know, but having to take care of more than, like, six patients a day or seeing, like, sickness and illness constantly was, like, hard. As a therapist, I see I can note a person that is burnt out very easily that come to me. So we provide caregiver training on how to take care of your loved ones. And even with that, it is a lot. It's a new role that you're never prepared for.
Right. Did the COVID in New York take its toll on you?
Fortunately, it has not. I kind of set myself up with the right mindset of like, this is going to be tough and this is going to be hard. And I need to be well self-aware with like, I need to take care of myself. I need to put myself first. So for me, that kind of looked like, you know, like I wanted to try a new skincare routine or hair stuff. Like it was something very little, or like I wanted to make sure I went out on a walk, or like, you know, even though I worked those 16-hour days, it was really hard. And being in that suit for so long, I needed to make sure that like I also took care of myself first before I was able to take care of others. So there's a saying that I always live by is like, you can't pour from an empty cup. So always make sure your own cup is filled.
Good, good, good. Where did you learn these self-care techniques? Because 90% of caregivers don't know about them, you know, and they usually figure them out after they burn out. But you seem like you've got it all together. And did you learn it just from the industry you're in?
I would say so. I think like seeing like other people burnt out and like you're teaching them like how not to burn out yourself kind of puts you into this place of like, I better practice what I preach.
Right,
and then also I would say like, it's from my faith as well. Like I know that like, you know, for me, like I'm Christian. So like any worry that I've had, I'm naturally was like, I don't need to worry about it. I have someone bigger than me that could handle all this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, easier said than done, you know, like it's something you always have to constantly, you know, practice what you preach. Like, even though I know all of this, I've been burnt out, you know, so it's not something you could 100% avoid. It's just, how do you manage it?
Sure. Okay. Well, I don't know if you know the statistics or not. You probably do, but 30% of caregivers do actually die before their loved ones do. And if they're watching a Alzheimer's patient, that number goes up to 40%. And so for the 10% of lucky ones, oh, by the way, those who don't die and are not like healthy, they're considered the lucky ones, right? Because they didn't die. But however, I don't know. There's some things that are worse than death. They eventually become hospitalized and eventually need a caregiver of their own. So, you know, it's always like, you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. But let's say you're talking to some people, burnt out caregivers or listening on this show mostly. What do you do now that you realize I can't go on? You know, you want to quit. Some people, I mean, the suicide rate among caregivers is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And also police officers and, you know, first responders and the statistics of people who are just checking out of life is alarming. What should they do to get back and get focused and get balanced?
Right. So when someone needs your support, it's very difficult to think about your own needs, your own goals, and who you are as a person. So a lot of times we start wrapping our identity in the people who we are caring for and our ability to care for those people who becomes our sole measurement of our own self-worth. So when our parents aren't doing well, or kids are struggling in school, or when we mess up at work, it hits so much harder because we feel like we are a direct reflection of those who, you know, as that person. So that's why it's important in needing to have an identity outside of the people that you are caring for. It's not only okay to do that, but necessary to continue to be a caregiver. You know, you could hire respite care. You could get a sitter. You could ask your family, whatever it is that you need to do. You first need to understand that you need to take care of yourself first. Kind of like when you're on the airplane and you're asked, like, you put the oxygen mask on yourself first, then you could help other people. It has to be like this non-negotiable of, you know, like getting oxygen, or else you will find a reason to do something for someone else, you know? And a way that you could do that is find support groups online, whether it's online or in person. You could utilize daycare if possible. There's adult daycares out there. It gives the person as a caregiver, like, you know, a break, a time to take a nap, go grocery shopping, and also gives your person that you're taking care of for, you know, for them to have socialization if they're able to. You could just know to, like, be gentle with yourself, you know, like, you are doing what you can do, you know, you're doing the best that you could do with what you have. Another way is, you know, utilize the online resources. There's area agencies on aging. You could Google that. And then you could go to aarp.org. They have a lot of amazing resources. You could go on Red Cross.org, National Family Caregivers Association. They have, like, training courses for caregivers. So there are a lot of, like, online support stuff that you could utilize.
Wow, I totally agree. You offered a lot of tips and resources out there. And, you know, a lot of caregivers are clueless about what help is out there, you know, and there's so much help out there. Even, you know, a lot of their complaints are about money, but there are many organizations that can help with the money also. I mean, if you are a vet, the one you're caring for, I mean, or their spouse was a vet, they can qualify for free assisted living facility or residency. And I mean, that's just one of many. Social Security will pay a caregiver if that person is on Medicare or Medicaid, and you know, because you're taking the burden off of the state, so they're going to help you out that way. So, are you familiar with any other financial resources that?
There's a website called Adily.com. It's AIDLY. It's a state-by-state resource guide to figure out, like, compensation for people, like, for eligible benefits or for caregivers themselves. And they'll, like, step-by-step, like, show you how to do with the tax returns and benefits that you could get, like you were talking about.
Wow, I didn't even know about that one. That's great.
Yeah.
I wrote that one down. How long have you been in an occupational therapist, first of all? And, I mean, were you born this way? I know you mentioned that in your culture, you know, it's like you were a born caregiver. But when did you really learn that, wow, you know, I'm really helping people and people are coming to me with their questions? I mean, when did you realize you were an expert, I guess is what I'm asking.
I honestly still struggle to feel like I am making a difference in someone's life, or like I'm an expert in this field. It's kind of like I've been doing it for so long, you know, and I understand that, like, you know, I'm in this position to, like, you know, I'm providing care. I am making a change. I am helping. I have been a therapist for 10 years, and it's like this constant, it's almost becomes like a repetitive motion. Right. And it's kind of like you have to take the step back and be like, you know, it's those moments of, like, the patient saying thank you, or like the moments of, like, you know, like, I always tell the patients, you're going to hate me now, but you'll love me later.
I can totally relate, you know, because sometimes I feel like, you know, what difference am I making, even with this radio show, you know, because not as many people are watching it that I think should be watching it, you know, and caregivers are just so reluctant to help themselves, and very few of them will take advantage of it. And so, yeah, you wonder, am I making a difference? But then, you know, you get that one letter or that one email or that one post that says, thank you so much for being there, you know, because we rarely get thanked. It's a thankless job, helping caregivers, and caregivers helping their loved ones is a thankless job because they rarely get the appreciation and the respect that they need. I just want to encourage both of us, just keep on doing it, because there's a shortage of caregivers. There's a shortage of facilities. I call it the caregiver tsunami. You know, it's just like Social Security. Too many people are taking out instead of putting in. And it's the same way. All the baby boomers now need care, and there just aren't enough care people to take care of them. We just have to keep encouraging each other. Now, most people are burned out, and they don't ask for help. Get any tips of, you just gave a whole list of things that they need to do, mm-hmm. but knowing what you need to do and actually doing it are two different things. Because I can almost hear the audience say, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I've been told that. Yes, you did that. But how can they take the first step, right? Because a long journey always begins with the first step.
Right. I would say set realistic expectations. You want to be able to take the pressure off by doing big things, like having to, like, I need to go to the gym, you know, like, or you, besides that, you could just take a couple minutes out of the day and get yourself ready and then go take care of the person, then get the person that you're taking care of ready. You know, like, do small things at a time. Like, don't realize, like, don't need, feel the need to, like, do the biggest and the most at first.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace your caregiver role. You know, like, it's not, you know, you're in that role for that, you know, for a reason, and you should embrace it. You know, not everyone feels ready to be in that, in that role. So, like, getting to know what the diagnosis is, it would be really helpful. Not just like what the diagnosis would look like in the beginning or in the middle, but like towards the end of it as well. And try to realize, like, hey, can I do this? Like, or do I need to go get help? Or, you know, like, try to prepare yourself, you know, because people, when they start their caregiver role, you're not prepared for it, right? Like, you're kind of just thrown in there. So it's a lot for someone to handle. You should organize your caregiver duties. I think that's a big thing, and delegate when you can. So being organized and, like, you know, whatever it is that you need to do, like, you know, checking vitals, write it down. And then being able to, like, hey, I need help to take mom or dad to the doctor's appointment today. So it's just small things, you know, step by step that you should be doing to avoid that burnout.
Yeah. And prioritizing and getting organized are essential. Are there tools that make getting organized easier? I mean, are there apps out there? And how do you prioritize? You know, so, okay, I've got to go to the bathroom, but my loved one is calling me. What do I do first? You know, I mean, sometimes it's hard to prioritize.
Yeah.
Any tips on, you know, things on the internet or technology that will help us prioritize better or organize better?
Yeah, I use Notion. It's an app, and then you could easily, like, write down. It's like a daily activity planner. Or if you're old school, I'm also that as well. I write everything down in a planner. For caregivers, it's like, okay, when did I give this medication at this time, or whatever it is. Like, there's also adaptive equipment that you could use that will make the patient, like, you know, it'll set an alarm on the pill bottle and be like, time to take the medicine. So let the patient do, you know, whatever it is that they can do as best of their ability. If they absolutely cannot, like, being able to organize yourself by writing it down or using, there's an app called Notion. I don't know any other apps on the top of my head. But I could definitely look for some and, like, send it to you so you can. Give it out to your listeners.
Awesome. Now you've been an occupational therapist for 10 years, and I know what that's like, because I've been to occupational therapists. My wife has, and I have a cousin in Florida who is also one. What made you decide to leave that and go into nursing? Because I've discovered, and I'm sure it's no surprise to you, that one of the largest burnout segment of society are nurses. They're overworked, yes. Underpaid, smoke like a chimney. It sounds like you're going out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Yeah, I actually get this a lot. It's like, why are you doing nursing now? Like, this is the worst of everyone's leaving nursing. Why do it now? Actually, I think, like, nursing, there's a lot more opportunities in nursing. I love, like, healthcare and love, like, taking care of people. And I wanted to do more, you know, more than that I was doing as a therapist. So even with that, like, I know myself, and I'm not going to jump into it full time, in, like, you know, bedside nursing is what we will call it. And I wanted to do something a little bit more different. So I wanted to do, like, dermatology. So I want to do that the other part times, you know, it's like a great balance that I'm able to do, still doing a job that is beneficial and, like, meaningful to me.
Wow. You consider yourself a perfectionist. You're certainly a high achiever.
Absolutely not. I fail at a lot of things that I do, but I think it's like the determination and like the willingness to do things that are so uncomfortable to you and like being told like, you know, why change your career now? Like that's a whole other thing. So I love doing like, I know like at the end of the day, like the main thing is taking care of other people. You know, like doing also something that's beneficial and like that I value also in my life.
Yeah, maybe it's because of your youth. I mean, you look like a high school or a college student.
Well, you mind telling us
how old you really are?
No, I'm 33.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that explains a lot. You have a lot of wisdom.
I say I'm 33.
Young face. Again?
I say I'm 33 on the outside, but I'm like 90 years old in the inside. Like my knees are hurting, my back hurts.
You're too young for that to happen. Yeah. I'm going to be 70 in a few days, and
wow.
I'm feeling what you're feeling. So I fear to think what you're going to feel like when you're my age.
Oh no.
Take care of your body too.
Yes, definitely.
Well, that's a great answer. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Okay, great.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and Caregiver Dave.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
And welcome back to the Caregiver Dave Show. I'm Dave Nassani at CaregiverDave.com, and we're talking to Lisa Tharakan, and we're talking about caregivers and burnout and all sorts of things. Obviously, you know, caregivers are neglecting their health, they're neglecting their eating habits, they're neglecting going to the gym, they're neglecting their friends that they used to have before they were a caregiver, you know, they're isolating themselves. People are offering to help and say, no, I got it. What's the mentality? Why are they doing this? Because maybe they don't even know why they're doing it. I know I did it And mm-hmm. I didn't know why I did it. Maybe, you know, I didn't want to feel obligated or, you know, I'm an auto mechanic. I used to be. And I like to fix things. And, you know, I'm sure I could fix my wife, but, you know,
right.
couldn't do it. But what do you think?
I think that it's like this feeling of guilt of like having to step away, you know, as a healthcare worker, I could spot out a burnt out caregiver almost instantly, you know, and then we try to tell them like, you know, there's other services out there that you could reach out to. And they're like, no, I got it. Like, I need to be there. I need to be the one. Yeah. Like, we have family members that would come in during their lunch breaks, you know, just to be like, I need to be there for their therapy session. And you're like, you don't need to be here. Like, it's okay. You know, like, there's nothing else that you're providing into the care. If anything, like, it's avoiding the person to get better. For example, like, it's okay for like caregivers to ask for help. You know, culturally it could be shameful, but at the end of the day, like, how do you look in front of others or choosing yourself to take care of your mental health is going to be better physically, emotionally, and mentally, you know, or spiritually. No one does, like, when people think about it, they're like, no one will do as good as me to take care of my mom or dad. And I have to be the one to be there all the time. So it's like trying to help reframe that thought to like, this is a difficult situation and it's not realistic for me to never take breaks. I need to allow myself to keep caring for my mom or dad or whoever it is, you know, over the long haul. It's impossible for me to have the right solution for every problem to make the right decision. And you are only doing the best that you could do. You know, like trying to reframe that thought.
Guilt is a subject that seems to plague caregivers. And, you know, we spoke about perfectionism before. Perfectionism is the enemy because, you know, you'll never do it perfectly. You'll never be without criticism. People will always criticize you, your loved ones, or maybe even siblings who think you're not doing a good job. And I always say, well, if somebody doesn't think I'm doing a good job, take over. I'll gladly step back and let you, you know, but those are the ones who usually don't help either. And there are always, you know, siblings that are the chosen ones. The loved one wants them and them only and doesn't feel comfortable with you know, another sibling. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend if people are feeling just so overwhelmed and they're not getting any help and, you know, the siblings aren't helping them and, or in some cases, you know, parents, if they're caring for someone else, aren't helping them or their kids aren't helping them. How do you enlist people to help when nobody wants to help?
Right. So at that point, you know, like it's like this feeling of alone in this. So I would recommend going online and like seeking those caregiver help support groups, like those, you know, those support groups will be your best friend. And all those aids that we've listed earlier, it would be very beneficial to help someone, you know, be able to like take care, you know, asking for help, you know, outside of your family, like, you know, to different resources. So I think that would be helpful.
Yeah. And then guilt, you know, I think of Sanford and Son, how Lamont Sanford used to take care of his elderly father, Fred, and Fred was always manipulating him and using guilt as a tool, you know. Remember that? He said, oh, it's a big one. No, Elizabeth, come on for you, honey. It's a big one. And Lamont would fall for that every single time. And caregivers are the same way. How can they kind of immune themselves from the feelings of guilt, you know, let it roll off their back like water on a duck?
I think that, like, it is having your own boundaries of knowing that, like, you need to, like, be able to choose yourself first in order to help other people. It's like you're going to feel guilty, but, like, in order for you to be able to take care of someone else, you should be full yourself, like, be able to take care of yourself first. Because if you think about it and you're like, you're not, you're 100%, the care that you'll be providing to other people, you know, to your loved one is not going to be your 100%, you know, like you're going to be more irritable. Like you're going to be, you know, like tired, like, you know, people don't get a lot of sleep. So you want to be able to like choose yourself and tell yourself it is okay for you to do that. Like, try not to feel that guilt or shame of like, you know, I am trying to like, I just need space to breathe for myself.
I can almost hear people who heard what you said say, well, wait a minute now, isn't some guilt good? Isn't guilt like a traffic cop who's trying to tell you, hey, danger, Will Robinson, why are you feeling guilty? Did you do something to deserve feeling guilty? Or is it the other thing? There's deserved guilt and undeserved guilt, because some people are very good at dispensing guilt, whether it's deserved or undeserved. How can someone determine if they're feeling guilt, if they should listen to the guilt, change their behavior and fix it, or if they should just ignore the guilt?
I feel like guilt comes with this, you know, this self-identity crisis of like, I'm just like not worthy of like having a good time right now because I'm, you know, my loved one is at home sick, you know, like I am just not worthy of this, you know, because of like other things, you know, but you have to know that you are worthy of goodness and happiness in your life. And sometimes we forget about that when we take care of other people. Mm. So you should be able to give yourself permission to take a break. Like you cannot be on like 24/7 all the time, you know? Give yourself time to be still with absolutely no demands, you know, whether if that's locking yourself in the bathroom or being in your car for an extra 5 minutes, like just be still with yourself and like know that you yourself are worthy of happiness in your own life.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some people will lose their temper when they get guilty or overwhelmed. And sometimes just going to the bathroom, like you said, that's probably one of the few places that you can get away with stealing 5 minutes and say, hey, you know, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, even as a healthcare.
Count to 100 or maybe take a glass of wine in there with you. I don't know. Whatever it takes. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Even like as a healthcare worker, like sometimes I need to take that, you know, extra 5 minutes to myself because it's a tough day, you know, like you have all these tough patients, they're very demanding and you're just on the go, 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 you know, but sometimes like I'll just go to the bathroom and be like, I just need a second. Like I just need a second to myself with nobody else talking to me and no one else like demanding me to do something. Yeah. And then I'm able to step out and be like, okay, let's go. What do you need?
Yeah, and I'm not promoting smoking cigarettes, but if you are a smoker and you need a cigarette, I mean, we can't take away all your vices. Anyway, we're up on another break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to caregiverdave.com and join now. Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
And we're back on the Caregiver Dave Show with my guest, Lisa Tharakan, and I'm Dave Nassani. And we're talking about caregiving and how to survive, not to survive, but to thrive, actually. You brought up support groups, which are very, very important. I know until I found a support group, you know, my wife had a stroke for 27 years. You met her. She's doing great. I mean, she's like a cross between Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. She still can't talk, but she can communicate non-verbally better than most people can.
Yeah.
And she has this power chair, and she goes around faster than I do. And so a lot of times I need a chair just to keep up with her when we go to amusement parks with our grandkids or stuff. How do we educate caregivers on a mass basis? Because I have a Facebook group with 34,000 caregivers, and I'll put in, you know, very educational things in there, and very few of them will read it. But then I'll put in some silly meme that talks about something that, you know, will make a caregiver laugh. And I'll get 30,000 likes and shares and comments and this and that. And I'm thinking, you're liking the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
There's many different ways to educate people, right? And everyone's different, you know, whether they're kinesthetic or audio or visual. What's the best way for people like us who are trying to save caregivers to educate them? I mean, we can't just send them memes every day. Maybe we can. I don't know.
Yeah. I think what you're doing is such a great, you know, thing is like, you know, having the podcast. And it's like you're saying, even though I have this podcast and I have this Facebook group and I'm giving out all these people information and that they're just not receiving it, it's not up to us, right? What we want other people to receive. It's like they're, it's what it is that they're ready for, and knowing that, like, hey, I know these resources are there. It's just that individual understanding that, you know, like, I need to reach out and I need help. So continuously talking about it and being in their face is probably the best thing, you know, so
being a thorn in their flesh, huh?
Yes, exactly. So I will be a broken record about a lot of things. Like when I see, you know, my patients with their caregivers there, and they are just like, one comes in their shower cap or in their pajamas. And I'm like, I will tell them every single time, you have to be able to ask for help, like take care of yourself. And even they're like, I know. And they just brush it off. It's just like, at least, you know, you're doing your work and your duty to provide like the information, you know, to the other caregivers.
Let's talk about the grief process, specifically depression, which is one of the stages of grief. You know, first, why don't you tell us the stages of grief and how you can determine the difference between depression or just being sad? Because, I mean, most people who commit suicide are depressed first. Sometimes, you know, we shouldn't miss the signs that someone is in a bad place and maybe should see a doctor, maybe should be on antidepressants or whatever. Go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah. So people that you'll see that will be in that depression phase is failing to be committed to their social like commitments prior. Like they'll see them like saying, hey, I can't go there. There's always an excuse of like why they can't be there, but they are at home, you know, like with their loved one or just like to themselves. Withdrawn, you know, you could see people just like completely like just out of it. For like suicidal is like people giving away their stuff or giving away their money, you know, like it's one of the first like indicators. Depression versus being sad is just like, there's absolutely just no joy in them in anything. You know, they're just like a moving machine of like, I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I have to go here. Like, and they're just so used to like their movements every day that there's no like happiness, you know, within them. You don't see them smile or like even it
no
could
joy.
Be with people. Yeah. Like even it could be with people that are just overtly happy, you know, like you have to watch how you see a lot of like comedians that commit suicide, you know, like it's like they, like the way that their jokes are, you have to pay attention to what they are joking about and then really ask them like, hey, are you okay? You know, there's like, you know, so many different things, especially if you know, like who that person is and you're like, you seem different. It's just acknowledging that there is something going on and like letting them know, like you are there for them.
Yeah. And sometimes they don't give you clues. I mean, I had a stepbrother. I was going sailing one time and stopped at my father's gas station and he was working there. And then he says, hi, Dave, where are you going? I said, oh, hi, John, I'm going sailing. And I heard this voice in my ear saying, invite him to go with you now. But instead I heard come out of my mouth, yeah, you should come with us next week, you know? And he said, oh, yeah, cool. I get home. We had a nice sailing trip. I get home. The phone rings. My father calls. And I says, hey, what's up? And there was silence on the other end of the line. And finally, he broke the silence by saying, John killed himself tonight.
Mm.
I said, no, I just saw him. We're going sailing next week. You know, don't ignore the voice, the intuition, the Holy Spirit speaking, you know.
Right.
Because even though there's no, he didn't give any indications to me that he was suicidal.
Right.
I went to school with him practically all my life. And then all of a sudden, and so God was helping me by whispering in my ear, and I didn't listen, and I dealt with a lot of guilt, but, you know, I had to forgive myself because I knew God forgave me.
Right.
So listen, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use-and-read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered. Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life 2 today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life 2 is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Hey, we're back on our final segment, Caregiver Dave Show, with Lisa Tharakan. So I want to talk about how do we know when it's time for our loved one to enter a facility. You know, maybe we're not sleeping well because they're up constantly, you know, like a newborn baby every 2 hours. Mm-hmm. They need to be turned or they need to go to the bathroom or they need their diaper changed or, you know, whatever. Or on the other hand, maybe they're still driving and they're pretty dangerous driving. And you need to take away the car keys. How do we confront them when there needs to be some kind of a change, whether it's in where they live or the automobile, et cetera? And a lot of times, you know, we're talking about elderly parents, perhaps, and the children, role reversal, they're now acting like a parent and the children, the parents are acting like a child.
Right.
Difficult situation.
Right. You could start with like a daycare facility. It's just for a couple hours during the day. Or if it's time to go to a facility, it would be a lot more nursing care that you're able to provide. Like if they need an IV, they need feeding tube changes, like whatever it is that you feel like incompetent to do, which, you know, like everyone would be able to learn how to play that role. But there's to a certain point that, like, you know, people with dementia, for example, like mom and dad is running out in the middle of the night. Like I feel bad. Like I'm just locking them in a room kind of thing to, like, you know, for their safety. When it becomes one of a harmful thing within for themselves, I think it would be an appropriate time to send them to a facility. Or it could be like, you know, post stroke, like I need them to work on muscular strength or like, you know, their speech therapy and, you know, more aggressive approaches than what you could provide as a caregiver, let the experts like an occupational physical speech therapist to help and with nursing as well.
Let's talk about spirituality and how does God and spirituality play a role in a caregiver just making it and tolerating it and not just surviving but thriving? I know my faith is very important. I couldn't do it without my faith.
Me either.
Is it just me or is it everybody? Do they have some kind of faith? Or I mean, you can put your faith in this chair that it's not going to break when you sit down on it, but I think you need to put your faith in more than that.
Yeah. I mean, I will, like, even though you don't know what your patient's faith is or anything, it doesn't matter to me. I'm still like, it's okay. I could do all things through Christ, right? Like, who strengthens me. Like, so that's like our favorite, you know, verse that I'm like, I could do this. Like, I have God on my side. And even if I don't feel like I'm ready for this role, like, you know, there's certain diagnoses that I work with that I'm like, I can't do this. Like, you know, even switching into nursing, I'm like, this is going to be hard. Like, I have to save someone's life. Like, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I'm built up for this. And it's like the self-doubt that in my faith that I will understand that, like, God will give me the faith and the desire, you know, to like want to be better and do good, you know? And I think that like, I feel like I'm protected by like God's peace that I'm okay with like, you know, whatever it is, the outcome, even if I don't make that person happy, I'm okay, you know, myself, because I know I did what I could do. And, you know, as a healthcare worker, like I sometimes like, I'll be like, let's just pray or let's start off our day with prayer, or I'll play like Christian music in the back. It'll like calm their sensory system down a little bit. And that's just something I do on the daily as a practice, like for even, I don't ask like, hey, are you Christian or anything? It's something I just do.
What's their response when you just do it?
Oh, they like the way that they are, like, it's like this guard goes down. It's kind of like, you know, some of my patients are Christian, so they're more than happy to like start the day off with prayer, or they're at the end of their life and they're like, all I need is like, God, I need help. You know, like that's what they're seeking out to. People that are not, you could see them being like, I could tell like they are not as tense or aggressive or, you know, anything. And I just feel like it's the way that I approach them and the way that like the environment is set out to be for them.
Yeah. Well, in our final 5 minutes, what would you like to talk about that I haven't asked you or we haven't discussed?
I would say, like, you know, as a caregiver role, it's just knowing to like you know, it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to, like, you know, like, if you don't know where to go to ask for help, just Google it and, like, listen to this podcast and, like, look back at the resources that I've listed. And there are government assistance. There is help, you know, healthcare is not the same anymore. You know, like, you're going to feel like the doctors don't give me time. I just, you know, I don't feel like I have, like, attention from everyone. Like, no one's listening to me. No one's just taking care of, like, the best of their ability. Be patient and be kind to yourself and to other people. And along with, like, what you've mentioned before with depression and everything, it's like always, you know, trying to invite other people out to things that you yourself, you know, like, would want to go and do or be invited to, you know, like, understanding that, like, you know, making the time out for other people, you know, to, like, making them feel seen. Like, yeah, having that conversation with them just to get to know them, you know, whoever it is.
Now, you're a dementia care expert. How is dementia, caring for a dementia patient, different than any other patient? Are they kind of in their own category or class? Yeah. Is any different?
Yeah. You have to meet them where they are, kind of. You know, if they're in 1920,
you're right?
Yeah, so, nope. Absolutely not. You are playing a lot of mind tricks and you will meet them. If they're in 1920, you're also in 1920 and you're just like, all right, great. Like, if someone's like, I need to go find the keys for my car, you don't tell them, sweetie, you don't have a car, you don't have keys, you haven't driven in so long. You're like, all right, let's go take a walk. Let's go find those keys. You know, like, try to.
You don't argue with them.
You don't argue with them at all. So, and
that is so hard.
Yeah. And you're going to have to, like, be repetitive in a lot of, like, things that you say, you know, like, their memory is not always there. So even if you just told them, like, 2 minutes ago, like, you know, like, for example, I have someone that just broke their hip who has dementia, and she's like, I have a lot of pain, and she'll complain about her pain, like, every 5 minutes. And you're just like, yeah, you broke your hip, you know, like, and you just have to continue to repeat that and, like, trying to teach them their hip precautions when they can't remember it is continuously, it's a challenge, but it's just repetition.
And I'm going through this right now with my aunt, my mother's sister. She has dementia. I'm her caregiver. And I take care of the medications. My sister takes care of the finances. And every now and then, this is the third time now, she goes on this rampage of my pearls are missing, my jewelry is missing, this is missing, and you took it. How could you take it? You know, I love you. I mean, how can you do this to me and this and that? And she's just doing this again. And last time was like 2 months ago. And it's like, I can't even talk to her because she's just has this hatred and disappointment for me. A lot of times I just have to hang up the phone because she won't stop and let my sister try to deal with it. You know, what do you do when somebody turns on you like that and thinks you're stealing from them? Because that's very common.
Yeah, it's very common.
And they're not going to trust me. No, I don't want my meds. You know, I don't want meds anymore. I don't want you coming over and, you know, giving me anything, you know, stay away.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
I know, it's very common. I would buy a set of fakes and kind of give it to them. Like, one of my patients accused me of, like, stealing money, like, accused all the healthcare workers there of stealing money. So we cut up little dollar bills, like, fake money, you know, and put in their pocket and be like, it's in your right pocket. And cause they don't, you know, they don't really know. And they're just like, oh, okay. Like, they just need that tangible item that's kind of there.
I don't think that'll work with pearls though.
I think we could find fake pearls somewhere, maybe Amazon. But
they do lose a lot of things. And
giving them something like your aunt, maybe a purse with, like, different items in it. It doesn't have to be like their specific thing. Like, you know, just giving them something to, like, you know, with dexterity and, like, fine motor for them to, like, play with.
Well, Lisa, I can't believe how fast our time is gone. How can listeners get a hold of you if they want some more information? I mean, do you have a website or something?
I don't have a specific website that I use.
Email?
Yeah, you can email me. My first name, Lisa, and my last name, Tharakan, Tharakan at gmail.com.
All right. And remember, all our live shows become recorded pod or video casts on your favorite platforms. My number one selling book, Secrets from the Hammock, Uncommon Wisdom for Uncommon Times, is spreading wisdom all over the world, available wherever books are sold. my website, caregiverdave.com, my Facebook page, Caregiver Dave, lots of tools and resources. There's a place on my website to schedule a free 30-minute coaching call, take care of something that you're struggling with. And did you know that if you click the like or follow button on any of these platforms you're watching or listening on, it helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google's search engine algorithms. So a true heartfelt thank you to all my listeners out there, to Lisa, thank you so much, and all those who help and tune in every Wednesday, making us the number one caregiver podcast on the internet. So until next week, same time, same channel, may God richly bless you all. Bye-bye.
Hi, thank you.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise.